we extend a warm Christian Crusaders welcome to each of our listeners today, whether you've tuned in for the first time or are a longtime friend. Our service will be conducted by the Reverend Dr. Homer Larson. We invite you to tune in to this radio station at this time every Sunday and worship with us. This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it.
Do you enjoy going to church? That's the theme of my sermon today. We open our service in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Let us pray. God in heaven, we thank you for the church and those church buildings that have been scattered throughout the world, the large cathedrals in the cities and the white frame building on the countryside. But the church where believers in Christ Jesus and those who have been seeking him have come. We pray that as that Christ is lifted up, he may draw all people to him. We thank you, Father, that in that church, through the hundreds and hundreds of years, people have found your voice speaking, correcting us when we were in error, granting us the forgiveness of our sins through faith in Christ, comforting us, encouraging us, and directing us. O God, may that happen today, wherever your people are gathered, in the house of worship. Amen. The first scripture reading is found in the 122nd Psalm, verse 1. I rejoiced when those who said to me, "Let us go into the house of the Lord." And then in Psalm 84, How lovely is your dwelling place, O Lord Almighty! My soul yearns, even faints, for the courts of the Lord. My heart and my flesh cry out for the living God. Even a sparrow has found a home, and a swallow a nest for herself, where she may have her young, a place near your altar. O Lord Almighty, my King and my God, blessed are those who dwell in your house. They are evermore praising you. Here ends the reading of God's holy word. Do you enjoy going to church? Ask that question in a mixed group, and you would receive a variety of answers. Here are a few of them. One person may say, well, no, I don't enjoy going to church. I never go. I come from a family that had nothing to do with the church, so it's not a part of my background. It's not in my heritage at all. Another person may say, well, it's not one of my favorite places to go. I guess my needs are satisfied in other places. A third one might say, well, I don't mind going to church, providing the service is upbeat and the sermon is not too long. And still another one may say, yes, I enjoy going to church. That's especially since I have retired. I have more time now. These are common answers, but many of you join with the psalmist and disagree with these people. You say, in the words of the scriptures, I was glad when they said, let us go into the house of the Lord. I'd rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than dwell in the tents of the wicked. For the majority of Christians, going to church is a highlight in their lives. That seems to come in relationship to religions of all kinds. The church, the body of believers in Jesus Christ, is one thing. The building is another thing. And some would say, well, that building is not very important. That's only brick and mortar. And yet, as you trace the history of practically all of the major religions, you will see the importance of the building. There's something about that building. If you go to Jerusalem, you will see the Dome of the Rock. It's not a Christian church. It is a Muslim mosque. But on that very site, there was at one time the Jewish temple. It was built by Solomon. And for the Jews, those at least who are highly religious, that particular site, that place, is one of the most sacred spots on the earth. When King Solomon dedicated the building, that the temple that had been constructed while he was king, he had a part in the dedication service, and he prayed this prayer. It's found in 1 Kings. "Will God really dwell on earth?" Solomon asks. "The heavens, even the highest heavens, cannot contain you, God. How much less this temple that I have built? Yet give attention to your servant's prayer and his plea for mercy. Make your eyes be open towards the temple night and day, this place of which you said, 'My name shall be there,' so that you will hear the prayer your servant prays towards this place." Commenting on this particular prayer of King Solomon's, John Stott, the great English preacher, has said, "What Solomon is praying is that God's presence could not be limited to the temple. But it is to be remembered that God had promised to be there in a very special way. So as a result, every Israelite loved the temple and looked forward eagerly to every chance he or she had to visit it. Therefore, it was only natural for the psalmist to write, 'How lovely is your dwelling place, O Lord Almighty! My soul yearns, even faints, for the courts of the Lord. My heart and my flesh cry out for the living God.' And so from that day to this, the house of worship, be it a large cathedral or a wooden frame building in the country, has something very important and precious to the believer. It is still a building, we know that, but it is God's house, and there is every reason to believe that God is there, and he speaks to us very dynamically when we are present to worship. That is true as far as the Christian faith is concerned. Within that building, there is a sanctuary, or as some would call it today, a worship center. Obviously, this is the most sacred part of the building. When I was a boy, it was made very clear to us that that part of the building had been dedicated and set aside for sacred use. In other words, when we went into the sanctuary or the worship center, we took off our hats. Certainly, we would never bring any food in there. And it was not a place to laugh and to joke and to do all of these things. Maybe they were a bit too strict. But you know, as an old man now, some of those things are still with me. I recall when I was still the pastor of that church, I would ask the custodians if they would be willing to take off their hats when they went in there to clean, and they obliged me and understood the background of it. I guess I still believe that in a topsy-turvy, noisy old world of which we are a part, our souls need a place that is quiet, a place where we can go and meditate, a place where we sense the presence of Almighty God. Take a look at your sanctuary. It is filled with all kinds of symbols. There stands the pulpit. That is a place where God's word is expounded. That is a place where we are reminded of our sins as the law is preached. And that is a place where we hear the blessed gospel that we have a Savior who will grant us the forgiveness of our sin. There is the altar. It is from that altar that the Lord's Supper is administered. And there we have come on a regular basis to receive in with and under the body and the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's a holy time when we are assured again that Christ has granted us the forgiveness of our sins, and we are reminded of what Christ has done for us. That altar is not just another table. No, sir. It is that at that altar that many of us were married. We confessed that we loved one another. We promised that we would remain together until death do us part. There is a baptismal font, or for some, the baptistry. And that's where we have entered into the kingdom of God. That is where God has entered into a covenant relationship with us. He has promised to be with us. He would nurture us and feed us and use us in his kingdom. It is before the altar that you and I have confessed our faith, either through a conversion experience or in the confirmation class. It is at the altar that we again have come for one sacred event after another. It is in that sanctuary that we have brought the earthly remains of our loved ones to be buried, and to thank God for the promise of the resurrection, that by grace through faith in Christ, death was not the final note. Is it any wonder that that building has special meaning for us? Is it any wonder that the psalmist said, "I am so glad," when they say, "Let's go into the house of the Lord"? For here is where God blesses me in a very special way. Sure, he blesses me in all other parts of my lives. But there's something just a little bit special about that day and that place when I go there to worship. Is it any wonder that people are reluctant to close their churches? In the community where I live, there was a country church that burned to the ground here not long ago. And the other evening, as I was listening to the news, I saw that the members of the congregation were out there for a groundbreaking ceremony. I think they said that there was something like 105 or 10 members. The population is not increasing in that area, and perhaps the church will not have many new members, but they remember this is a place where father and mother went. This is where I was blessed as a child. I want that place to remain, and if the old one is burned, let us replace it. It's no wonder that sometimes the officials of our church have a difficulty in trying to put two congregations together, for they are both dwindled in size, the people have gone. And the practical thing is to just unite those congregations. It'll save so much money, and perhaps they can have a preacher this way. But they're willing to make almost any sacrifices in order that they can have their church. They don't want this idea of joining. Well, as an outsider looking in, you can laugh about that and be rather critical, but become a part of that church and you understand the blessings that go along with that building. And for those who see a church for one reason or other decreasing in attendance, there's something kind of sad. And you think back on those days when those pews were full. Yeah, the church building does have a place in our spiritual life. Now then, I would ask the question, well, if you are one of those who said, yeah, I love to go to church, and I want to admit that it's a top priority in my week. If I don't get to church, it seems like there's something that has absolutely gone wrong. Church is just a part of living. There are many blessings that we get there. Let me just mention a few of them in the moments that remain. It is in the church that you and I are spiritually fed. Remember Jesus said, "I am the bread of life. He who comes to me will never go hungry, and he who believes in me will never be thirsty." Now we know that the Lord talks to us in the private devotions that we have. We know that he talks to us when the families are gathered together. But here comes a family of God, and we're in a church on Sunday morning, and the pastor is proclaiming that word, and he is announcing what God's will is for a particular matter. And it's just like the Spirit nudges us, doesn't it? And it says, look, you're falling short here. And there I begin to say, God, will you forgive me? I have sinned in this way. Look at the wretched life that I lived during this past week. His word has been feeding me. And as I make my confession, here comes that voice from none other than Jesus Christ himself who says, I grant unto you the forgiveness of your sin. You are forgiven. Now go and sin no more. Sure, it's a place where my life is corrected and is turned around. And it's a place where I am comforted to know that my sins are forgiven. It's a place where I can turn when it seems that I am so insecure in facing some of the difficulties that are mine. This week I go to the hospital, a person says. This week I undergo some very serious surgery. This week I get a diagnosis as to how long I might be able to live. And here is a word of God, and it brings me comfort. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Don't let your hearts be troubled. That's in that building. For God is present. Is it any wonder that he said, I'm so glad, when they said, let's go into the house of the Lord? Where else would you get a message like that? It's in the house of the Lord I get direction. Where do I go with my life, God? I'm a young person, or I'm in middle age, and I know not which way to turn. My job has been taken from me. Where do I go? Who do I marry? How do I raise these children? And it is in that church, from that pulpit, that the word of God is expounded and says to fathers and mothers, raise up your children in the word of God. You see, it's a place where I'm fed. Secondly, it's a place where I go to praise God for all the wonderful things that he has done for me. Sure, I can praise him at home and should and do. But isn't there something about being together with his people? And just standing there as a part of that group and crying out, oh God, I thank you, together with this body, your church. Isn't it something to sing that doxology, praise God, from whom all blessings flow? A thrilling, thrilling experience. I'm not only fed in that church building, but there I gather with my fellow believers and thank God for all that he has done for me and for others who are assembled there too. It is in that church, people, where we have fellowship with others who believe in him. There are the rich and the poor, the educated and the uneducated, the young and the old, the black and the yellow and the white, and the floor is leveled at the cross. Tell me, where have you met better people and greater friends than in that church? New people who come to town, who are a part of the body of Christ, often find their way first to the church, for it is there that they know they'll meet brothers and sisters in Christ, and the walls will have been torn down. You say that's not true in our church. We're cliquish. We hardly invite new people to come back. Well, if that's the case, your church has got problems. That's not pleasing to God. And he is saying to you, you better change that. For my house is where brothers and sisters gather together and they become one in Christ. It's a place where visitors to our town can really come and know that I was welcome. That's a church. the cathedral or the little white frame church in the countryside? The psalmist says it well. I was glad when they said, "Let us go into the house of the Lord." The church has top priority in the life of the Christian. And if that is not true in your life, ask why. And do something about it. For there is no other place in all of your community that will bless you like the church. Amen. Lord Jesus, thank you for giving us the church. And now we pray that your blessings may rest upon us. Grant, O God, that where we have not lived up to what you want your church to be, you will not only forgive us, but you will direct us and you will use us to the glory of your holy name. Blessed and be with those this day who are sick. May your comforting hand rest upon them, and may the church surround these friends with your love, your grace, and your mercy. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.
You have been worshiping with the radio ministry of the Christian Crusaders. We have designated April as Letter Month. We encourage each listener to write or call our office and tell us what station you listen to. Please include some information about yourself. We would like to know more about each member of our listening family. As a thank you, Christian Crusaders will send all listeners who respond a booklet of biblical passages titled, God's Love Never Fails. This booklet shares insights about God's love from Moses, David, Paul, Jesus, and others. Please write this week to Christian Crusaders, Post Office Box 522, Cedar Falls, Iowa, 50613. Cassette tapes or printed copies of today's sermon are available free of charge. However, a gift of $2.50 will help cover the mailing and production costs. Our mailing address is Christian Crusaders, Post Office Box 522, Cedar Falls, Iowa, 50613. Our toll-free phone number is 1-888-MY-FAITH. That's 1-888-693-2484. In the Cedar Falls, Waterloo, Iowa area, dial 266-7589. Christian Crusaders invite you to find out more about our ministry on the internet. Our website address is christiancrusaders.org. That's Christian Crusaders, all one word, .org. Conducting our service today was the Reverend Dr. Homer Larson, Pastor Emeritus of Nazareth Lutheran Church, Cedar Falls, Iowa, and radio pastor of Christian Crusaders for the past 39 years.